It's enough to really skew.
To make a difference.
Yeah.
But not like Washington.
I just saw her a few minutes ago. We live at the same place.
Ah.
So, welcome everybody. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. So, let's start. Introduce ourselves.
Since we don't know how far it's
really. So, where do we want to start? Elaine. Since she's not ready, we'll start with her.
I'm Elaine Wells with Bright Connection.
I'm Lou Rivers from Washington. Can you do that just a few minutes?
Yeah, sure.
Perfect, great.
Michael Parkman, who's the SAC of Clackamas County.
Zoe Preston, CAT, Streetcar CAC, STFAC.
Leon Shabalita, CAT.
I am Susie Wright with Kittleson.
Actually, let's go to Elaine if we can.
Oh,
or did
I
you get
started
already?
We did.
Did you start?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Alan Leto with TriMet.
Jan Campbell, CAT.
Claudia Robertson, CAT.
Hannah Ritchie, Quincy, TriMet.
Thank you, everybody.
And?
It's a.
Karen Criswell, TriMet.
All right, I think we got everybody.
Great, thank you so much. So we're going to start right off, and then we're going to break up into discussion. So I'm going to turn it over to Alan, who's then going to turn it over to Karen, I hear.
Yeah, right. We'll just keep turning it over and over and over. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here on this beautiful day, which we will try to get you to be able to see as soon as possible. First, we, as you all remember, we made some decisions, some recommendations to the state about STF funding earlier this year. The decisions have not been made, but they are moving forward. The final decision doesn't happen until the end of June, I think. But there has been some progress on that, and so Karen was going to give us a quick update.
Hi, folks. For those I
and Karen,
know.
Could you speak into the mic so we get it? Thanks.
The transit coordinator for ODOT Region 1. And earlier this week, we had a joint review panel. The transit coordinators, folks like me who are all around the state, did a ranking of the STF, scoring and ranking as of all the STF applications in the whole entire state. And that's a lot, people. There's a big, big demand for service out there. But you all know that already. And then there was an external review panel that did the same thing. Earlier this week, those two groups got together and reconciled the rankings for both the statewide list as well as the list for each region. And while it's not any sort of final decision, that final ranking goes to PTAC, the Public Transportation Advisory Committee, for their review. And then they will forward their recommendation to the OTC, who are the deciders of the list. Historically, PTAC has been pretty supportive of the recommendations that come to them, and OTC in turn of the recommendations that come to PTAC. So I think, Andy was there. She got to watch the scrum. but I think Region 1, as of this point, and the recommendations that this committee made, I think we did pretty well, in both in terms of the statewide list and the regional priorities. So that information, the current ranking, has been posted online on the Public Transit Division's website. And Hannah can share that information with you. So that's it. Thank you.
So, yeah, we didn't want to go into details because there's still two hurdles, PTAC and OTC. But as Karen said, things tend not to move too much there. It looks promising so far. So in June, it'll be after our next meeting, but in June we will send out, when we hear, we will send out to everybody by email and mail the final outcome from that.
Karen, can you tell people about your exciting adventure and what's going to happen? I think some of us would love to know. And then I was going to say they need to add it to this probably because it's, we'll tell them.
Possibly. Oh, I forgot one more thing that Alan asked me to address, and that was the state had an announcement that came out earlier this week. The week's been kind of a blur. On the vehicle solicitation is a 5310 and 5339. And so when we knew what that award was going to be when we were doing that ranking of the STF application. So those are kind of synced up. So if you were awarded in 5310 and you put in an application for match for STF, the committee took that into consideration. I think you'll see alignment there. Jan. So the thing that Jan is referring to, which I've been not sharing a lot until I was sure that it was going
to
happen.
You have to tell me to be quiet if you don't want me to say things.
But I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Late last year, so I got to build a little build up for it. Late last year, at the request of multiple partners, ODOT started a planning process to look at the interest and feasibility of bringing a new public transportation option to the Gorge. And I'll just jump over all the planning stuff, which is actually really fun and fantastic. But as a result of all of that and cobbling things together and working really hard with our fabulous partners at TriMet and Hood River and Oregon State Parks, we are starting a new public transportation service this summer. It's a pilot service that will connect from Gateway Transit Center with a stop at Rooster Rock State Park and then a stop at Multnomah Falls being its destination. Yeah. So it'll run, the opening day is May 27th, the Friday of Memorial Weekend. It'll be open or it'll operate Friday through Sunday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. with 12 departures a day from Gateway, and even more departures if people are able to drive to Rooster Rock. If you're taking the shuttle from Rooster Rock to Multnomah Falls, you park for free. You just let them know at the gate that that's what you're there for. And roughly 15 to 30 minute headways from Rooster Rock and Multnomah Falls. So we expect to have the website up on May 11th, and then you'll start to see a lot of information going out about it. And fares will be round trip $5 to go to the falls. So that's my exciting news, and I'm going to cry and cry if it actually doesn't start on the 27th.
So everybody be real quiet.
And accessible vehicles.
Absolutely. Two ADA. Of course it's accessible.
Yeah,
it's got public funds. Two ADA stations per vehicle. They're 26-foot cutaways. MTR Western is the operator. So once it starts, if you're able to take the service, we'd love to get your feedback on how that experience was. And it's a two-year pilot, and we'll see how it goes, and hopefully it will continue, and we can extend and bring more service that will connect to other destinations in the Gorge and then Hood River as well with more regular service. That's my super exciting news and why I haven't been here as much.
I think that's so exciting.
I love when I come to share happy news. Right. And now I'm going to leave. Before
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks.
All right. I'm trying to find my agenda here. So what we're going to move on to next is a quick recap of a report back on the work session we did on the application at the last meeting, and then we will roll right into looking at the draft report. What we've tried to do from the conversations we've had over the last few meetings is the consultants and Hannah have been working really hard on updating the report, reorganizing it a little bit, making it as user-friendly as possible, though it's still longer than we wish we could make it. It just needs a lot of information in there. And trying to reorganize and simplify the action items, the principles. Susie's going to talk you through that after we do the report back. So now I'll hand it over.
Great. Thanks, Alan. My report back will be pretty brief because we did do kind of group report backs right at the meeting last time. But in general, I'll tell you what we took out of that and what we're doing with it. We heard great support for the process that was outlined, which does include an additional meeting and the whole funding cycle, including more advanced meeting that will include some elements of looking back at past things that were funded and how they're doing. We'll get to have the kind of presentations from the applicants. We definitely heard to do everything as much as possible to get that advanced time. We heard that you really liked the two worksheet format, and that in general there was great support for ranking applications as part of the evaluation process. We are going to keep the scoring system that connect to the evaluation criteria that connect to the plan, but that will be used as a tool to really help you develop your rankings. Or if you're really just comfortable sticking with the scores, you may. But ultimately, the tallying of results from the committee will really be based on a summary of rankings that's kind of informed where we need to dive deeper or have questions by any individual rankings. Let's see. Those are the things that we've pretty much incorporated into the process. We are still in the process, or should say Hannah is still in the process of updating the actual applications. And we do know that the application is probably going to continue to evolve. It's not going to be necessarily fixed by being attached to this document. It'll probably get some test runs here coming up soon and will evolve. But I think we've gotten to a very good starting point. But a few of the things that we're still going to try to incorporate into those applications are doing our best to make them consistent with the ODOT applications where we can and the timing allows. So try to differentiate a little bit between the STFAC criteria and ODOT's criteria, and just looking for additional opportunities to simplify those forms and clarify how to answer some of the questions about measures when it wasn't clear. Do we answer it about our system today or about what we're projecting with the proposed project? And just to make sure that those measures are really applicable to all types of projects, from operations to capital and maintenance. So those are some of the refinements that are still going on. Yes, Glenn.
I would rather force people to make rankings, because what ranking does is it prevents people from scoring everybody 5, 5, 5, 5, mm-hmm. and you have three projects all with the same score. Somebody has to make a difference and say this one is better than this 20 is better than that 20.
Yep.
So I think while I like the idea that you can use a rate the scoring to come up with rankings, but if you have three ties, you need to, as an individual, I think you should be forced to rank them, would be my observation.
And that's definitely, do you want to
answer? I was going to say, I think we heard that same, let's check this. I think at that last meeting, we heard that same interest in ranking in general. But what I think we also heard was an interest in having the rating available to support that and back it up and help guide it, but that ultimately the ranking was going to kind of bring us to a point where we can all make best decisions about what this looks like. That's what it seemed like I was hearing. Does that seem, I'm seeing some nods. Anybody have discomfort with that? Dick?
How many of these do we want? Which ones do we like best? Which ones do we not like best? And if everybody went through and did that, I think we'd have better results.
And I think that's the bottom line, at least that's what my takeaway was, that generally that was the consensus that we should have that as the endpoint. But what I think I also heard was building up to that, providing the ability to have the ratings so that folks who aren't comfortable just jumping into a ranking have something to guide them to think about going through that. So we kind of asked a question, should we do ranking or should we do rating? And what it sounded like we heard back was what often happens when you ask a lot of people a question, which is, well, let's do a little bit of mix of both, but the final sort of outcome is the ranking. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I have another question. We got this in the mail, and we got this morning.
Exactly.
Are they identically the same?
Exactly the same.
So if I want to take and just hold on to
yep.
this.
Just in case you didn't bring the thing we sent you.
Thank you. Because I have also some of my divinely inspired notes.
That's good. We wouldn't want to have you give those up. Leon?
Oh, no.
Did you? Okay. Anything else before we? Okay. So, don't feel like this is the last word, but that's certainly what I think we heard, and that's the direction we'll head unless we hear something else and there's further conversation around it.
And if you're kind of really interested to see kind of how this translated into the document, we talk about this process in the last chapter 6, and I'm going to kind of get us to there in a little bit, but page 6-5, the fifth page of chapter 6, talks a little bit about this process and refers to attachments. So there, one of the attachments in your packet was called, it's going to be called attachment L of the plan. And it's what describes that multi-step process and kind of the meetings and what's going to be covered and what is the full cycle separate and the activities that will occur before and after a funding cycle. So that's described as attachment L, and we will also be attaching the applications to the document when we're getting ready to publish it. So with that, I'm going to kind of try to walk you through the document. We did have some aspirations of trying to make the document smaller, but we got elements of it a little bit smaller, but we did make some efforts to get it a little bit more streamlined, but it really was not able to shrink too much just because we got a lot of great information on things that have been going on for the last 3 years and also really wanted to document a lot of the things that we heard through this process, which were really valuable. So in the agenda, I've outlined it till 10 o'clock, about 35 minutes to kind of walk through the document and talk to you about what's in there. The plan is then at 10 o'clock to take a break and break into small group sessions to really ask you questions about your thoughts and comments on the document and the actions. So we can spend a little bit less time going the overview, or we can spend a little bit more time if needed, but the goal is about 35 minutes so that you have as much time as possible in the tables.
So you won't be asking questions during the time of your presentation. People, that's...
Yeah, I'm not asking any questions, but if you have questions that will help you in your group discussions, feel free to ask them. If it's just fundamental questions about the way the document's laid out or some decisions we made, not so much your specific individual comments, but clarifying questions for the whole group.
Though we all believe that you did all your homework, we want to make sure we kind of talk it through, because there's nothing like hearing some of the thoughts behind it and just giving you a little bit of structure to help us make sure that your conversation really gives us good guidance in turning this draft into a proposed final.
Mm-hmm. So the way that we're hoping to get input from you is we'd like as much of your input as possible today in the work sessions. You're going to have a facilitator again, you're familiar with us all now. So hopefully you can convey your comments to your facilitator. You'll be getting your own note sheet that you can write some notes on and submit as well. If you have markups in your draft draft report. You're welcome to leave us with your report or rip out the pages that has the few comments that you have and want to give them to us. We're trying to collect as much as we can today, but we'll give you till like Tuesday if you feel that you need some additional time. And if you need time beyond that, please just come talk to us at the end so we have an understanding of kind of who needs additional time. You might have noticed that there's some yellow highlighting in the documents. Those are some clear areas where we know we need an update, and we just haven't had the information to update it yet. So, in particularly, if you feel like you have an answer to something that's yellow highlighted, make sure you can make a note on that and turn it in to me. Agencies, we probably have a number of things that we really would like you guys to take a look at in your review. There's a description of services in Chapter 2. There's a summary of deficiencies per the recommended guidelines in the end of Chapter 4. And then, of course, in Chapter 5, we talk about all the kind of different actions, and there's a lot of narrative about what those actions are, as well as commentary on some ways that agencies are currently addressing some of those actions. So if you might see that there's some commentary about what Ride Connection's doing or what TriMet's doing, but if your agency is doing something and we haven't, it's something notable and you think it should be noted there as well, we're definitely looking for that input.
So Susie, just to clarify, we're looking for them to address not only what's highlighted in yellow, mm-hmm. but additionally, those two chapters that you specifically mentioned, to make sure that they're complete, mm-hmm. and if there's anything else they would like to add or highlight.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we've reached out to all the service providers trying to get all that information, but if we haven't heard from you or you think we didn't incorporate it as much as we should have, just definitely let us know. Let's see. Okay, so with that, I'm going to kind of step you through the document to just kind of help you get a little bit familiar with it. There are 5 or 6 chapters and a bunch of attachments. So we have one chapter less than we had before because of some consolidating we did, which we'll get to. So the first chapter is really just an introduction. It talks about the kind of priorities that the committee developed, talks about the process that we went through developing the plan, gives an overview of the key funding sources, STF and 5310, that this committee and this plan really helps inform decisions on, although you're not necessarily limited to those, but those are kind of some of the key functions of this plan and this body. So Chapter 2 is an overview of the existing transportation services. You may remember us talking about this at, I think, our very first meeting together. Maybe it was our second meeting. But we've tried to give a comprehensive description of all these existing services. It includes both transportation providers as well as a description of some key social service providers at the end of that towards the end of that chapter. Chapter 3 is about service guidelines.
Are you still taking comments on Chapter 2?
No, you're not.
No, I'm taking questions. But if you have comments, things, you know, if you see any mistakes or errors, we want you to submit those basically written comments or communicate them to your facilitator.
So, yeah, comments on anything are fair. We just want to have the conversation be focused on the newest items.
Yep, the whole document is fair for you guys to provide us comments on. So Chapter 3 is about the service guidelines. We had quite a bit of discussion about them, but we did not make many significant changes to them other than just kind of re-clarifying the terminology that was used to talk about small city and big city and just made that more clear that we're talking about cities and unincorporated areas that meet certain population thresholds. But some of the guidelines themselves did not change significantly, or I should say did not really change at all through this process. Chapter 4 is the needs assessment. So this builds off kind of needs that were identified in the previous plan. It builds off interviews of transportation and social service providers that we did, and it includes all the input that we received at our kind of the first workshop where we had the breakout tables, and we had a lot of additional members that participants come to the meeting. We had a group of about this size and had to spread out all over the building. So it's taking that some that input as well. So that's what the chapter four is. It's just trying to kind of bring together all that description of what we believe the current needs are. And that section ends with an overview of how do we, what are the areas where, so there's a summary of deficiencies, and also it's related back to the service guidelines and trying to identify where we have areas where we're not meeting the service guidelines. From there's either a lack of service altogether, or there's a kind of deficiency in the amount of hours that are provided, or the number of days a week. So that's definitely a key table. It's at the end of chapter four. For the agencies to review and make sure they would agree with it, because it's also, it's a very important table in the application process for you guys to identify, is this application filling in something that's been identified as not meeting our desired guidelines.
And Susie, I believe we talked about this, but won't there be an appendix to the document that has sort of a list of all the feedback we received through that engagement process?
Yeah. The draft that you guys received today only had kind of three attachments on it, in it, that were kind of new information. But there is, on the, about the third page in, there's a list of attachments that are going to be included in the document, and we are going to include the summaries from all of our meetings as well as all of the workshop summaries, including some of the raw input that was received. So there will be a pretty large kind of a attachment list to this document that does capture kind of all the detailed information that we collected. Okay, so chapter five is where we made the most changes to the document. The existing plan had a chapter on strategies, which was, I think, chapter five, and then it had a chapter on, strategy on initiatives, strategic initiatives. So it was a chapter that really talked about, it was pretty text heavy, a lot of narrative describing all kinds of great initiatives related to, you know, how do we encourage use of fixed route transit? How do we, you know, make services more efficient? We really did keep the majority of those categories in this document, but there was a big chapter on strategic initiatives, and chapter six was on strategies. And the two chapters were very related, because you'd have one chapter, it was describing all of the things, and then the next chapter kind of trying to break it down into specific actions and priorities. So we decided to combine those two chapters to one chapter where we kind of talk about the strategies and then provide the list of actions. So we kind of combined two chapters, and I'm going to walk you through chapter five a little bit more specifically. If you can kind of get to page 5-1. It's about two-thirds of the way back in that document. The page numbers are numbered by chapter. So page 5-1 is where chapter 5 starts. And we did do a little bit of language change. So we've talked a lot about guiding principles and strategies. We kind of stepped back and looking at what those were, how did those relate to kind of the guiding tenets, the guiding principles, the initiatives, strategies, and we really just wanted to make it a little bit more simple. So we've talked about the guiding principles, or you'll see on the first page of chapter five, the guiding principles are now called priorities. The guiding principles, and it does state here, are not listed in a priority order, but these are really priorities for the STFAC, as well as the plan. So the guiding principles are referred to here as priorities on page 5.1 and 5.2. And what we've been talking about is strategic initiatives and strategies we're calling actions, just trying to keep it pretty simple. So if you look at page 5.3, is table 5.1, it's us trying to help connect for you the priorities that we've laid out, you know, so the guiding principles, and the group of actions that we have identified in this plan. So as you look at table 5.1, the labels that go across the top, say, if you can see, it says A1, maintain service, 1B, expand service, 1C, increase capacity and quality of service. 2 says capital replacements and maintenance. 3 is balance, cost effectiveness, and accessibility. So those things across the top are the guiding principles that you guys helped develop, so we're calling them priorities. And what's down the left-hand column are the major themes of actions. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have, this document has the actions separated into 6 major categories. The first being develop a committee to oversee implementation of the plan. And the X's in this table kind of help correlate for you and for the reader to understand what does this action, which priorities is this action really trying to help implement. So the first major action being develop a committee to oversee implementation of the plan. The second major action being measure performance. That's kind of a key outcome and guiding tenet that we want to be measuring performance and evaluating, kind of using performance measurement to help guide the decision making. The third major action area is enhancing access and increasing system efficiency. There are 3 sub-bullets under that. So the 3 major ways that we are looking to enhance access and increase efficiency of the overall system is to encourage use of fixed route transit, manage ADA service demand, and enhance pedestrian access and land use improvements. So those 3 things work together to help really enhance access to the system and increase the overall system efficiency. As you dive into that section of the report, you'll see that there are additional actions. These all get broken down into some more specific actions. But that's that's the third major header or division of actions. So then the next one, and you turn to the back page, provide service to meet the recommended guidelines. So that's the third major action heading. There's a number of actions to kind of address that, from maintaining services to expanding services. The fifth major heading of actions is improving the customer experience. And the sixth major header is about promoting coordination among providers and innovative partnerships. So those are the 6 major themes. As you go through the through the rest of chapter 5, you'll see that section 5.3 is just about that first major action category, which is about developing a committee. On page 5.5, you get to measure performance. And table 3 kind of 5.3 specifies as the action. So those are the first 2 that are just very short. As we get to the rest of the categories, we get to longer lists of actions to implement. Enhance access and increase system efficiency. This is where you start to see that there's a lot of text about this action category. So there's about 6-7 pages or so about the types of actions that can be done to enhance access and increase system efficiency. So we've tried to describe what the action is and what it what it accomplishes and what the purpose is. We've tried to provide some status updates on things that have been going on in the last 3 years or that are ongoing. And then when you get to page 5.12, you start to see that description broken down into specific actions. So Table 5.4 takes that action of enhancing access and increasing system efficiency, and it breaks it down to some specific actions. These will look fairly familiar. This is what was in the previous plan in Chapter 6. So we've tried to kind of take the types of information that were in 5 and 6 and put them into one chapter. So you can read about it and then see that I'm on page 5.12. So this is definitely an area where we're looking for feedback from you in the work session. We want to know if there's, if you feel like there's any actions that we've missed. We are, we want to, you know, particularly for agencies, if you feel like there's this is an action that does or doesn't pertain to you, it's a responsible party, and what the, if you have thoughts on ways to modify the next steps. But from the whole committee here, definitely we want to talk about tiers. So you'll notice on the far right, there is a checkbox columns, tier 1, tier 2, and tier 3. Now what tier 1 is, let's see, I had my descriptions. Basically, tier 1 are kind of actions that are they're kind of ongoing and feasible to implement right now. Tier 2 are supposed to be short to medium term priorities that potentially have funding available. And tier 3 is defined as kind of long term actions that really require additional funding. You will notice that the majority of these actions are all identified as tier 1 or tier 2. We definitely need to identify some actions that we believe to be tier 3, as in they're longer term and will require more funding. So, you know, try to think about that when you're looking at the tier. If something seems like this isn't something that we can do tomorrow, we need to work on it, the existing funding sources may or may not be able to implement this, that should be tier 2. And things that really seem farther off and, gosh, we really need to be able to have additional funding to achieve this should be tier 3. So that might be, based on your input today, some kind of, I won't say significant changes, but we definitely want to see between this and the final draft more differentiation in those tiers between now and the final draft, so that you have some better information when making decisions down the road.
Maybe I'd like to underscore that, you know, if we have a lot of actions and everything's a high priority, it's hard to actually get anything done. And moving something back to tier 3 doesn't mean we don't care about it, doesn't mean it's not important, but it recognizes that we do have to focus in on something and will give all of us and whoever is charged with implementing this as much guidance as possible about what to focus on first.
So I think I was on page 512 there, and as you continue to go through the document, you get to the next category of maintaining and expanding service to meet the guidelines. Again, there's some narrative about ways to achieve that, and then we get into a table on page 516 of specific actions. Page 519, we get to the subject of improving customer experience. And there's quite a bit of information in this section about ongoing activities and efforts that are already occurring to try to achieve this. And then page 523 gets to the corresponding table of actions. And the last category starts on page 525 about coordination and innovative partnerships. Again, there's quite a few pages of text here about ideas. We've used italic text, as I talked about, providing that status update kind of commentary about things that are currently already going on in these various areas. And on page 531, you get to the table of actions. So you'll notice that the actions have continuous numbering across these six tables. So there's a total of 40 actions. For the workshop, we've simplified this for you. basically, I have a document here, and everybody will get a copy of this, and your table facilitator will have a copy of this. These are the actions that are identified in those six different tables, 1 through 40, so they have the same numbering that's in your plan, but so that you can just see all of those actions in one place, make them a little bit easier to flip through. And there is a column for comments. So this is where you can take notes about the action and give us input on it if you have things that you would like to change on the action or suggestions to improve it or maybe possibly make it more accurate in some cases. So feel free to make your comments here, and definitely your table facilitator will be taking notes on something that looks identical, but you're invited to submit your individual comments as well if you want to do that. Yep, as soon as we break, I'll be passing these around. And then, so chapter 6, I guess I skipped one chapter here in the overview. Chapter 6 starts on page 6-1. And so in this chapter, we talk again. So chapter 1 talks about STF and 5310 and what those funding sources are and what they can be used for. But this chapter talks a little bit about what we have been using those funds to fund previously. It's pretty well described for STF. We're still working on the summary of kind of what 5310 funds have been used for in the last several years. And we have some work to do in projecting funding needs. I think the previous plan had some very specific numbers in it, able to quantify some of the service cuts and what it was going to take to restore service cuts. We're not really in that position right now. It's pretty difficult to quantify what it would cost to really complete the plan. So this update might be a little different in that from that standpoint from the previous plan. It talks a little bit on page 6-3 about the most current federal authorization and some different funding sources that do relate to you. Primarily it's a 5310, but we do talk about some of the other grant programs that are kind of related sometimes to the fixed route transit options. So just to have a little bit of an overview of what are some recent changes in the funding from the federal level. And then section 6-4 on page 6-5 talks about the funding process. And this is what gets us into kind of referring back to the work that we've done at the last couple work sessions about what do we want the funding process to look like and what do we want the applications to look like and kind of tying that to connect together to the plan. So that is my overview of the document. I hope that gives you a little bit of an understanding of what's in here and how it's organized, whether you did or were not able to review it in advance. So at this point, we're gonna take a 15-minute break. We can kind of get some refreshments, and then we'll get back into table sessions. Let me first say, are there any questions before we break? About the overview that I just did, or about the document in general. Yes, Leon.
Yes. Can you review why the what's on this? Is it highlighted in yellow that you're looking for information? I don't know what.
Yeah, so there are some things highlighted in yellow throughout the document. Those are really flagged for us and the team, as well as for you, to let you know that, hey, this is information from the old plan that we have not updated yet. So they are either old numbers that need updating, and we've got a little bit of work to do or additional research to update them, and we're really trying to determine if we can update that information. So if it's yellow, that means we know it's needs updating or is not current.
Right, and we'll be really leaning on a lot of the service providers to help us update that information.
Can you raise the volume of your voice?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks. We're going to be leaning on you, the service providers, to help us update that information. So when you see the yellow highlights that are flagged, please, and especially if that pertains to you, please help us address that and update that information.
Glenn?
Yeah, this is more of an observation. This is really read well. It was easy to read. I thought it was comprehensive and it flowed. And it gave me the feeling that this is kind of a new document instead of just a rehash of, well, this is an update of 2009 or something. This is, I just think it's wonderful. I really appreciated this, that reading the whole thing as a document. It was easy to read and easy to understand. I really appreciate all the work that everybody at the front have put into this.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that. And we really appreciate all the work that you guys have put in coming here. This has been a really intense five months? We started in January.
Almost 5 months.
Holy moly.
And we've asked a lot of you. I will say it's been pretty aggressive, and you guys have a major reason that we were able to update the document so well and make it feel like a new document. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to break. We will, since we're ahead of schedule, we will let you have your full 15-minute break today. Let's get back together here. We do want to get down to, can we get down to five? Or do you, can we get to four? Let's see, we have.
Tables.
How many seats do we have available? We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Yes, I think we can get down to four tables.
We have four facilitators, so we'd like to consolidate the tables a little bit. So if we can.
Can I ask Zachary and Chris to move? And I will also ask the table in the back middle to move. We've got a lot of seats, particularly front left, front center.
You too.
Yeah.
So let's get back together at 10:10. We'll give you 2 extra minutes.
Woo-hoo.
Today. 17-minute break. 10:10. 10:10.
On the side. Can you get in there?
Oh, you think can I?